News, notes, and nuggets from Buffalo Bills OTAs, including an update on attendance, clues as to where some players are lining up. We've got details on Dalton Kincaid. The linebacker competition and more is all coming your way today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino, author of Go Bills and Buffalo's Run, also the co-host of the Locked On NFL Scouting Podcast, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Want to thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day, and a big welcome to our everydayers. You know who you are. Those of you who never miss a single episode, I appreciate y'all being here very, very much. I'd also like to invite you to subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Well, folks, we've got a bunch to get into here. A lot of news and notes and nuggets coming out of Buffalo Bills OTAs. And the trend here that we've learned over the last several years of Sean McDermott running the Buffalo Bills is that during OTA weeks, Tuesday is the day where the media is going to have availability. So we heard from several players, including Dawson Knox and Micah Hyde, several coaches, Ken Dorsey, Bobby Babich, Eric Washington. And we got some reports courtesy of the outstanding Bills beat reporters that we can reflect on here today. So I've spent my day really scouring Twitter, reading articles, doing everything that I can to get the most interesting information to share with you today based on what we've learned coming out of the most recent day that the media can be in attendance at Buffalo Bills organized team activities. So the way that we're going to attack this conversation is I want to start with Ken Dorsey, Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox. Then I want to move into Bobby Babich, some defensive notes, Micah Hyde's comments. And then lastly, talk about the attendance and some really interesting clues that I was able to pick up on from reading through Matt Perino's recap article. Give us some clues as to where some guys are lining up. So we'll get into all of that here today. But like I said, I want to start with Ken Dorsey and Dalton Kincaid. And we listened to Ken Dorsey speak for a little over 20 minutes today. And I got to be honest with you, my guy doesn't offer much. He's not a guy that really gives you a whole lot of meaningful takeaways. He's an excellent he's excellent at coach speak, if you will, at press conferences where you can listen to him speak for 20 minutes and he really didn't say a whole lot. And you know, his first questions were about Dalton Kincaid, and you know, he pretty much just said, look, it's a feeling out process. We're trying to learn about him. He's trying to learn about us. We're certainly aware of the skill set that he brings to the table, but how to implement him is something that we're working on right now. And I want to bring that up because as we get into some of the practice recaps and even Dawson Knox's comments, there's a whole lot more that we can take away from what Kincaid is doing than what Ken Dorsey offered. And I want to start with something that Matt Perino brought up. And one thing that he mentioned last week, and of course, Matt Perino, host of the Shout Buffalo Football podcast, as well as covers the Bills for Syracuse.com. Matt Perino talked last week about Dalton Kincaid and how he didn't receive any targets in team drills in the one day that he was able, or not he, any media was able to be in attendance at. But on Tuesday, May 30th's OTA session, he received five targets in the session and caught four of those passes. And Perino specifically noted that those targets came from Josh Allen at quarterback. And that's pretty significant. So Dalton Kincaid, team reps, five targets, all from Josh Allen at quarterback. So for a guy that they're still trying to figure out and get to know and all that type of stuff, which I can respect the answer, he's getting first team reps right now. And not that that's the end all be all, but there's some level of confidence in his ability to be implemented with Josh Allen as the guy throwing him passes. think that's a good sign. Parrino went through and he talked about the completions. I thought it was interesting to note the incompletion, which according to Matt Parrino was on a deep throw that was a touch overthrown by Josh Allen. He also noted that Dalton Kincaid won a contested catch over Kyer Elam. Now, file that away for the back of your mind because we're going to revisit that comment later on in our podcast. So the thing I want you to file away is that Dalton Kincaid won a contested catch over Kyer Elam. Again, all right, you got that down? Cool. All right, we'll move on. As for Dawson Knox, some interesting things that he said during his media session was, of course, asked a lot about Dalton Kincaid, which makes a lot of sense, right? Hey, you just signed a 4-year contract extension that pays you $14 million, and they just drafted a tight end in the first round and traded up to get him. And so, you know, naturally, Knox was asked questions about Kincaid, including what his, you know, first impressions are of the Bills rookie. And Dawson said that Dalton seems like a great guy. He's someone I would hang out with outside of football. He's down to earth and genuine. Gets along with everyone. Said he's just a good dude. Thought it was interesting that he said he's someone I would hang out with outside of football. And when Dawson Knox made that comment, it reminded me of a comment that I heard from Steve Smith. And when I say Steve Smith, I mean Carolina Panthers wide receiver Steve Smith. And Steve actually came and spoke at the church I was attending at the time. And, you know, we were hanging out with Steve, and he was asked a question about Cam Newton and, you know, what their relationship was like. And Steve said, yeah, I mean, we didn't have anything in common, right? Like, we were just really different people. We were at different points in our careers, different points, you know, in our life, and we didn't really vibe. We didn't connect. And we kind of know how that went. You know, Steve had a sour ending to his run in Carolina, and he goes to Baltimore, you know, goes and signs with the Baltimore Ravens, and Cam continues on as the Panthers starting quarterback. But I say all that to say that there's something that matters about, you know, the guys that are going to be on the football team, being able to connect and relate, and for Dawson to say, hey, he seems like someone that I would hang out with outside of football. You know, and Dawson Knox is entering, what, his fifth season in the NFL. This guy just got drafted a month ago. I think that's a pretty cool comment that speaks to something that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are always very mindful of as they build this roster and they think about the guys that they're going to bring in, is that they're like-minded people that can mesh well together. Thought that was an interesting point. Dawson also complimented Dalton's hands and route running, which I think anyone that's ever seen Dalton Kincaid play football, you would compliment those things. But I thought it was interesting that he also said that he's a polished player for a guy coming out of college. And that is encouraging as well. We've talked about Dalton Kincaid and what the curve's going to be here and what the typical onboarding process is for a rookie tight end and what that impact is like. Pretty cool that Dawson said, look, he's pretty polished for a guy coming out of college. And, you know, even made a comment about how Dawson, you know, for his career caught like 39 passes and Dalton Kincaid had one game where he had 16 receptions. And, you know, how Dawson said, look, the playbook when I was at Ole Miss was 20 or 25 plays. And, you know, in Dalton Kincaid, while he does share that, you know, learning the playbook is going to be a process, it feels like he's coming in at a further ahead starting point, which is something that I've tried to communicate here and speculate on. And it was nice to kind of hear Dawson reiterate that. One thing that I'll also say listening to Dawson Knox comment about the arrival of Dalton Kincaid is that it really feels like, you know, feels is probably the wrong word, but Dawson Knox has a whole lot more to say about the implementation of Dalton Kincaid than Ken Dorsey did, and really kind of got into 12 personnel and how they can both be used together and the mismatches that they can create, right? And so while I think Ken Dorsey was being reserved with his comments, which he should, right? I would expect that to be the case. Dawson Knox had a lot of excitement and enthusiasm for what this could be. And I also thought it was cool that he shared that before the Bills drafted Dalton Kincaid, Dawson was made aware that that was going to be a possibility. And, you know, Dawson went on to say, look, after I was made aware of that possibility, I got excited and I was hoping that we would draft him. And I think that's great messaging from Dawson at this point. But yeah, he was excited about 12 personnel, how it can make them a more versatile offense, a more dangerous offense, and what can be implemented. The other thing that I'd say is really cool about listening to Dawson Knox was he shared that he and some of the other guys watched the first round of the draft with Josh Allen. And that's cool, right? They don't have to do that. They're all in different places in the country. They could be doing anything that they want. And they got together and watched the first round of the draft. I think that's really cool when it kind of speaks to the culture that exists in Western New York. All right, we got a bunch more to get to here, including some comments from Bobby Babich on the linebacker situation, what's going on there. We're going to unpack that all here in just a moment. But first, got to tell you about Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious snack, but you don't want a bunch of sugar, you don't want a bunch of calories, but you still want something delicious, well, then you got to try out the world's best tasting protein bar, and that is Built Bar. In fact, I just ate one here. This is the birthday cake puff that I just enjoyed before I started recording this podcast. And they're healthy and they're delicious. They're delicious because they're covered in 100% real chocolate, and they come in great flavors like birthday cake, like churro, like red velvet cake, like brownie batter, coconut almond, so many great flavors. And they're like eating a candy bar, but they're good for you. They're healthy and delicious. Like I said, low calorie, low sugar, high in protein. So check them out. Go to built.com. You can order yourself several boxes of Built Bar. That's what I do. And I use promo code LOCKEDON15. That gets me and you 15% off your next order. But you can also head to your local Walmart or Sam's Club. Pick up a box off the shelf. Try them out, folks. They're awesome. Got a feeling if you do, you're going to thank me later. All right, let's get into some of this defensive chatter. Comments from Bobby Babich, Micah Hyde, Eric Washington. Some stuff to unpack here. Let's start with Bobby Babich, who's the Bills linebackers coach. And it's important for you to be aware of that Bobby Babich was safeties coach, and then he moved to linebackers recently, last year. And what's interesting about that, and we'll get into it a little bit more here, is you know Bobby Babich was very much a big influence in Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde and their ascension to be top safeties and one of the top safety tandems in the league. Then he goes and coaches linebackers. And I think we could say pretty confidently that last year we saw the best of Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. And so I get excited about Bobby Babich being the coach that's going to be responsible for developing and coaching the replacement for Tremaine Edmonds, whether that's Terrell Bernard or Tyrell Dotson or Dorian Williams. So Bobby Babich had some comments about the competition at middle linebacker and said, the hardest thing the Bills middle linebacker has to do is the operation of things and making sure the defense can function. And said that with that player, the middle linebacker, they set things for the entire group. And Micah Hyde expanded on that. We'll get into that in just a second. But it's a reiteration there that this communication piece is so important. It's not just your ability to process and play downhill and tackle and get off blocks and cover. You have to communicate to the other 10 guys on the field and make sure everyone's lined up in the right spots and that everyone has the right call and everyone's on the same page. It's a big job. And you're losing somebody that has 5 years of experience in doing that in Tremaine Edmonds, and you're inserting somebody that has virtually no experience doing that. Bobby Babich did say that the decision on who will be the Bills starting Mike linebacker will come when it naturally comes. He said, it doesn't feel like it's worth setting a time frame, which I think makes perfect sense. There's no reason to set a deadline on that because then you're going to be held to it. Let it play out. I think there's a benefit in finding that out as soon as possible, right? You want to get that group together, get that guy in there doing it, and getting time on task and repetition. So I would want to get to that decision as quickly as possible, but there's no reason to put a deadline on it or anything like that. Then people just hold you to it. He also said that the decision on who the starting middle linebacker is going to be is ultimately on Sean McDermott, but there will be input from Bobby Babich, Al Holcomb, and others. thought this was interesting. And this kind of feeds into the comments that Brandon Bean made on Chris Long's podcast about linebackers. He said, the way the NFL game is going, it's ideal for teams to have two matchup linebackers. How about that? Kind of doubling down here. And so for all the commentary that I've offered about how both Terrell Bernard and Dorian Williams are better suited to be Matt Milano-style linebackers, as it would turn out, the Bills are fully aware of that, and that's what they wanted. They want two matchup linebackers. It sounds like they want to move away from that traditional Mike linebacker, and I don't mean traditional in the terms of Jeremiah Trotter or Lavon Kirkland or something like that, but I mean of kind of that take-on player that can really play downhill and into the line of scrimmage. They want matchup players at linebacker. And so I think there was a lot of intentionality in bringing in Terrell Bernard and Dorian Williams and the skill sets that they offer based on how they want to evolve the defense. But I thought that was really interesting that he said, based on the way the NFL is going, that it's ideal for teams to have two matchup linebackers. I don't think I've ever heard anyone come out and say it like that, just very direct. Now, I think you could look across the league and realize that that's not something that everyone believes in. Look at the Patriots linebackers, look at the Broncos linebackers, look at the Bears linebackers. But there are teams that do, and it looks like the Bills are one of those teams. And so we just have to recalibrate the way that we think about it. The messaging has been quite clear from Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, and now Bobby Babich, the GM, the head coach slash defensive coordinator, and then, of course, your linebackers coach. They're telling us what they're looking for, and they're looking to move away from that Tremaine Edmonds-type player and into, if we can get two Matt Milanos out there, that's great, which obviously changes a lot of my perception of those draft picks. He also said, after saying that, the way the NFL game is going, it's ideal for teams to have two matchup linebackers. He said Dorian Williams, the Bills' third-round pick out of Tulane, is a matchup-type linebacker along with intelligence and physicality that they're looking for. That's pretty high praise. You come out and said, hey, this is what we're looking for, and then you talk about the guy that you just got and said he's what we're looking for, right? Which I would expect to have a lot of congruency there, but feels like there's some momentum here for Dorian Williams. I think that's what I'm gathering between those comments and what we heard last week from Sean McDermott. Something else that Bobby Babich shared, and we feel like I've heard this from whoever is asked about Sean McDermott taking over the play calling, whether it's coaches or players, saying that, look, with Sean McDermott taking over as that play caller, nothing has really changed. Babich said that McDermott was always heavily involved in the defense. Let's move on to Micah Hyde. And Micah Hyde shared some interesting things and talked about, actually the context of the question was about DeMar Hamlin. And just the reality of him coming back in and playing contact football. And what type of mental hurdles are going to exist there. And he said, look, there's no doubt there's going to be some of that. And he brought it back to himself and said, look, I experienced that last year because I was mentally ready to play in the AFC Championship game. We've heard, you know, we've been told that if the Bills beat the Bengals in the divisional round, that Micah Hyde was going to be ready to go for the AFC Championship game. Of course, the Bills lost the game. We never got to see that happen. But I think that gives me even more confidence about Micah Hyde being able to come back in and be Micah Hyde, right? The mental hurdles, he's cleared them. He's been ready to go for a while now. He's probably chomping at the bit to get out there. But we've seen this happen with Trey White, right? Where felt like he was physically cleared to play, but didn't play, right? There was probably some mental hurdles for him to get over. And so as I think about Micah Hyde and Trey White coming back from injury and the amount of time now removed from their injuries, feel really good about those guys and what they can do for this defense. Micah Hyde was also asked about the middle linebacker situation. And he was asked specifically about Tyrell Dotson. And to me, look, and this could be me just reading into things a little bit too much, but the way the question was phrased led me to believe that Tyrell Dotson was getting those first reps out there at linebacker, which I think makes sense. He's been around. We talked about the and have heard about how important the communication piece is. And you know, he's the guy that you would feel like with his experience in the system and on the team over Bernard and Williams would have the upper hand. And so it feels like he's getting a lot of those reps. It's certainly based on the way that the question was phrased. And Hyde was pretty quick to say, look, they're rotating in. And went on and talked about communication and how important that is for the middle linebacker and said, look, if you make the wrong call, we're all wrong. The entire defense is wrong. But then got back to talking about Bobby Babich and the confidence that he has in Bobby Babich to get these guys ready to go and gave credit to him, to Babich, for getting him and Poyer to the level that they're at. And so we should feel good about Bobby Babich being the linebackers coach, folks. That's one of my big takeaways here. Want to get into some comments here from Eric Washington, the Bills defensive line coach. I want to talk about attendance, a couple other of nuggets here from the practice recap. So that's all coming up here in just a moment after a very, very quick break. All right, I want to talk about Eric Washington and his comments, practice recap, all that type of stuff. But first, I would like to invite you to join the Locked On Bills subtext community, something new that we are offering here over the last few weeks. If you want to join the subtext community, there is a link in the show notes for today. So if you're watching on YouTube or listening on a podcasting platform, check out the show notes. There's a direct link to join. Here's what you get. You get one-on-one text conversations with me, and so that's really fun, going back and forth, talking Bills football with everybody. You get priority when it comes to herd mentality. We have some exclusive content. I'll give you regular Bills musings text, so as I think about things with the team, I'll kind of share them. I'll give you my first reaction to all Bills news, so when the Bills were reported to sign Brandon Schell, I send out a text to everyone with some thoughts on that. We're doing some giveaways. And some fun stuff planned for in-season, so check it out. Again, a link to the Locked On Bills subtext community can be found in the show notes for today. And again, nothing changes with the delivery of this podcast. It's not going behind a paywall or anything like that. It's just an extra layer of engagement for anyone who might want it. And we're having a lot of fun, so I'd encourage you to check it out. All right, so let's get back to these comments from Bills D-line coach Eric Washington. He had this to say about Puna Ford. He said, I see him being an extremely active member of the rotation, a three-down player. He's very smart, very aware. He can play multiple positions. I'm really excited about him. Me too, Coach Washington, me too. He was asked on what word he wants, you know, in a word on what he wants from the Bills' defensive line this season. He said physical, physical, physical. And I think that's a good word. Because there have been times when I've watched the Bills' defensive line and I haven't thought they were physical enough and I haven't thought they were assertive enough to dictate terms and set the tone. I could point to several games last year, Cincinnati, really the last two Miami games, where I don't feel like they were able to really set the tone and be physical. And I think that's a good buzzword for Coach Washington. And the last thing from Coach Washington was his comment on Shane Ray. He said, when you go from the top of the mountain to trying to claw your way back in the league, I have a lot of respect for that. His attitude has been tremendous. He said he can see him being an impact player again. And so as I think about the players I'm interested in, right, like, of course I'm interested in Josh Allen and Deion Dawkins and Ed Oliver and Greg Rousseau. Some of those dark horse guys that really perk me up, Shane Ray's pretty high on that list, I got to be honest with you. All right, so as for attendance, and this report comes courtesy of Sal Capaccio from WGR550. He shared it on Twitter. Players he did not see at OTAs today. So these would be the guys that you would assume were not present for voluntary OTAs. Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Von Miller, AJ Epenesa, Shaq Lawson, Ed Oliver, and Tim Settle. Those players not in attendance or Sal Capaccio did not see them. Guys that were in attendance but did not participate in full, Mitch Morse, Tommy Doyle, Jordan Phillips, Damar Hamlin, Zane Anderson. Some notes here from the practice recaps that I was able to read. Sal Capaccio put out one, as well as Matt Parrino. Sal Capaccio was very complimentary of Kyle Allen, the Bills' backup quarterback. Discussed in his article, which you should check out, two tight window throws that he made. And that's encouraging, right? I mean, not that Kyle Allen has a lot of competition to be the Bills' QB2, but what I think is interesting about Kyle Allen is he could be the guy that stops the continuous revolving door as to who QB2 is in Buffalo. You know, is he a guy that can sign a multi-year extension with the team and we don't have to think about quarterback two anymore? Possible. So it was nice to hear some high praise or some complimentary notes about Kyle Allen. And Sal also had kind things to say about Josh Allen. So did Alex Brasky of the Batavia Daily News. And Matt Parrino called Josh Allen crisp. And so anytime 17 looks good, we like to know that. Sal Capaccio also highlighted an athletic interception by Terrell Bernard, said he was working back across his body to pick off a Matt Barkley throw. And then Matt Parrino said that the pass from Barkley that Bernard intercepted was intended for Zach Davidson, a reserve tight end. And so what's important there is, well, hey, good job, Terrell Bernard made an athletic play. Awesome. Love that. But also, it would appear that that was a third-team rep, because you had Matt Barkley at quarterback throwing a pass to Zach Davidson, who's tight end four, and Terrell Bernard picked it off. That feels like a third-team versus third-team rep. Parrino also noted that Terrell Bernard made an impressive play on a Matt Barkley throw intended for Quentin Morris. And so, look, there's a lot of practice that we don't know about, including the other OTAs where the media is not there. There's probably a ton of rotation, but there's some common trends here that Terrell Bernard's playing snaps and team drills against third stringers. It's putting it out there for what it is. I don't know how much you should glean into that, but that's what I take away. Another note from Parrino, and this is, remember I told you to file away that Kyer Elam nugget that he, Josh Allen was able to complete a pass to Dalton Kincaid, a contested catch over Kyer Elam. So that's a first team rep, right? Josh Allen to Dalton Kincaid, Kyer Elam on defense, first team rep. From Parrino's article, he also said that Kyer Elam got beat vertically by Dez Patton on a throw from Kyle Allen. That, to me, is very clearly a second team rep. Kyle Allen at quarterback, Dez Patton at wide receiver, of course, with Davis and Diggs not there. So Kyer Elam not exclusively getting first team reps. Meanwhile, Christian Benford was covering Khalil Shakir on a pass from Josh Allen. That's very clearly a first team rep. The point that I'm getting to here is it certainly doesn't feel like right now Kyer Elam is the undisputed starting cornerback opposite of Tre'Davious White. Based on these practice reports, Christian Benford's getting first-team reps as well. So I don't know what we're in store for, right? Who knows? Who knows what we're in store for here? But that, at least for now, is I'm making a mental note of coming to terms with this being a battle. And that Kyer Elam is not walking into this season right now as the undisputed CB2, because we have evidence now that he's getting second-team reps and Christian Benford's getting first-team reps. But Kyer Elam also is getting first-team reps, as we know from the Kincaid-Josh Allen reps. So I dig into this stuff pretty deep, right? I every nugget I try to dissect and gain clues on the team, and so I'm sharing them with you. And does it always mean something very, very conclusive? No, but as we navigate through these coming weeks of OTAs and camp and all that, you know, we're going to start piecing this together and noticing trends. So I want to bring up this information as it arises to me, so you can start making the same types of notes. All right, folks, that's it for today. Recapping what we learned coming out of Buffalo Bills OTAs. I am fired up for tomorrow. I'm scheduled to have a really, really good guest, one that I'm very anxious to speak with, that I'm anxious to share the conversation with you. Not going to tell you who it is because it hasn't happened yet. We're set to record tomorrow afternoon, and then as soon as it's done, I'll get it published and up for everybody. But just in case it doesn't happen, I don't want to put it out there and get everyone excited and then it doesn't come through. But we scheduled it. It's confirmed. We're ready to go, and it should be an awesome, awesome one for you tomorrow. So don't miss anything. Make sure that you're subscribed. Would love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great rest of your day. Go Bills. And I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.